around as well, okay?
Okay.
All right, your Twitter page, so I'll just introduce it as well. We're with Neil McAvoy, MS, for South Central Cardiff. Your Twitter page describes here, I'm just got it in front of me, hold the bus. It says, hashtag not politics as usual, hashtag get it done. What's that about, Neil?
Well, I was elected on a platform of not politics as usual, I suppose, really. What we mean by that is, if you ask most politicians, you will not get a straight answer. If you ask me a question, you will get a straight answer. And I'm in politics to get things done. And my whole track record shows that. And I don't particularly want to be associated with other kinds of politicians that we see in Cardiff Bay. So that's what it's about, really.
Just looking at the COVID-19 crisis at the moment, do you think Wales has made the right decision in maintaining the restrictions?
I think the handling of it has been disastrous from the beginning. We had fair warning of what was coming in January, in February. And on the 19th of March, the Welsh government was offered testing kits which work within 10 minutes. They've been widely used in South Korea. And for whatever reason, I've no idea, the government decided not to order them.
So you'd advocate then the road for you for lifting restrictions would be mass testing and, you know, just maintaining the usual sort of precautions.
Yeah, there is no way out of this without mass testing, because if we don't know where the virus is, if we don't know who has the virus, who has had the virus, then everything's up in the air. It's a lottery. And as soon as the restrictions are lifted, there's going to be a second wave.
Yeah.
And if you look at the countries in the world where very few people have died, I've just highlighted South Korea. If you look at Austria, I think under 600 people have died there, which is a lot, but it's nowhere near in the region of what has happened in the UK and in Wales in terms of percentages. Over 30,000, over 1,000 people dying in Wales. We should have had testing, we should have traced the virus, and we should have isolated the virus. And I don't think the UK government has taken this seriously at all. I think they've bought into herd immunity, because they didn't even close the airports. Mm. We've had over 15,000 people every single day coming into the UK without restriction, some of them coming into Wales. And I think what we needed to do in Wales was close the borders. We should have done that, and we should be doing that as well now, going towards the bank holiday, because England have lifted restrictions, so people are going to pour into their second homes, to the beaches, to the tourist areas, and they're going to bring the virus with them.
I spoke to David Llewellyn earlier on, the police commissioner for Public Powers, and he said that wasn't going to be the case, because they are, in effect, they didn't want to make an England Wales divisive sort of issue of it, and he said, well, we're manning those roads. We have the manpower. We are continuing with this sort of robust checking and monitoring of who is coming into Wales. And what he was saying was, actually, a lot of the second homes in Wales are owned by Welsh people.
It doesn't matter who owns them, really. The issue is isolating the virus, yeah, and not taking it to areas where it doesn't exist at the moment. And you know, that is what is happening. It's not a Wales-England thing. It's a virus control measure. If you look at Australia, they've actually restricted movement between states. So we could have restricted movement between counties in Wales. That could have been an option. But if you look at the most successful managing of the crisis, South Korea, for example, they didn't even have a lockdown.
Is your worry then that we just can't cope, and that David Llewellyn is sort of singing a great tune there, but actually with what England have done, that we are going to see this mass exodus back towards Wales and Cornwall and Devon and so on, with people, as you say, that may have it and may have the symptoms? Do you think that's going to happen?
I unless they make a formal declaration that these roads are going to be closed, you should have a good reason to come into Wales. Mm. Otherwise, don't come. Not now. And that's going to be made crystal clear. And what I'm really picking up through officialdom, really, is a complete disconnect between people at the top of organisations, you've highlighted one there, people I speak to in the health service, and what is actually happening on the ground. We're being told, for example, that protective equipment is available in care homes, it's available in hospitals. I've got friends who work in those places. and they're telling me they're not protected. So there's a huge disconnect, and there's a level of denial, really. And we've got to be tough, and we've got to tell these people, you are not coming in.
You've highlighted some of the issues with Mark Drakeford and the sort of seesawing of the messages that he's given. One day he says this, the next day he says the other. Today you've tweeted about his message, is it safe to call one member of the family to meet another member of the family in a park? He said yes, and now he's saying no, we've got that wrong. In brief, with Mark Drakeford, how has his handling been of this crisis, do you think?
I think he needs a deputy, because he's clearly not coped, and he doesn't look the part. There's no confidence in what he says. He doesn't seem to have confidence in himself, really. And he's flip-flopped all over the place on a number of issues. For me the main failure is testing. They have not got the ability to test the amount of people that we need to test to isolate the virus, because we need to get the economy working again. So for example, if you look at certain service industries, if they were able to test people, then you would know that you're going into an environment where there is no virus. And then when, if we could really isolate the virus, then we could shield people a lot more easily. I've not touched my parents since the 11th of March, last time I hugged my mum. And because she's in a category that needs shielding. I'm out and about, I'm doing people shopping, I'm doing other things. Out of necessity, anything personal, I stay in. But I think I'm out more often than maybe other people through the necessity of work and just helping others in this crisis, which is my job, actually. And so therefore, I'm not seeing my parents, only through a window. And we have a chat on the phone. It's really weird, but that's the only thing we can do at the moment. But the government's handled this dreadfully. There's been a complete negation of responsibility. They've not taken responsibility, and the provision of PPE. I'm sick and tired of speaking to Welsh businesses that have offered the government, manufacturing businesses, we can make this, we can do this garment, we can do that, give us the specs, let us know what we can do, and then they end up furloughing their staff because nobody's been in touch with them.
Well, that's an issue.
And they're tapping those, across the board.
Those gowns that came in 40,000 gowns from Turkey. And we've got Cambrian Training, who are making adequate PPE equipment, but we've got unemployment in Wales. It was a question I put to Neil Griffith MP a couple of days ago, and I said, you know, look, this crisis, if anything, shouldn't it have surely given us a wake-up call to be prepared and to look at a Welsh manufacturing industry, albeit where the workers are multi-skilled and the factory is multifunctional, it can be switched for any purpose, really. Is that something that you would sort of, you know, would concur with going forward?
Absolutely. We could have actually used this crisis in a positive sense and put people back to work in manufacturing. We could have used 3D printers and created businesses there. I had a lad who got in touch with me, and he was making masks for nurses and staff on the front line in a COVID ward, for example, where they didn't have those masks. And he was doing it on a 3D printer. Yeah, I mean, and the staff were very grateful for what he's doing. So you've got a young lad in Kyra, in Cardiff West, making PPE equipment when there's been a complete lack of organisation. And I it's a failure. It's a failure of governance. But we're seeing this constantly. We saw it with the nuclear mud. We see it with the M4 and £120 million wasted. But the mistakes this time have cost people's lives. And that's a reality.
Adam Price of Plaid Cymru has been very vocal in his criticism of Mark Drakeford and the way he's handled the crisis. And he's sort of taken the New Zealand model of the sort of way that they can come out of this. Do you think what we've heard historically, really, from the Welsh government, Labour-led, has been it's all Westminster's fault. It's Westminster are to blame, that those nasty Tories. But yet we have these devolved issues of health and education and so on. Is your view that this lame excuse just won't stand anymore?
Yeah, I'm sick and tired of politicians blaming other people Adam Price included. And it's time to just take some responsibility and act, get it done, as we say. I'll give you an example. Adam Price and Plaid Cymru were criticising the government, oh, isn't it terrible? Cardiff are not doing this. Mark Rayford's not doing that. Yet Plaid, his party, runs three councils in Wales. And what they could have done, given it, there's a concrete example, is how I got talking to Councillor Dylan Bullard, who ended up joining the Welsh National Party recently, because there was a holiday site, camp, with caravans and so on, open. And it took local people to act to get that place closed down. What should have happened is the councils should have acted, they should have been proactive. They could have used the Licensing Act, and what they should have got, what they should have done is thought, right, we know there's a wave of tourists coming and a wave of visitors. How can we proactively stop that? That's our job in politics, to find solutions. And right, we could have used the Licensing Act. They could have written to those campsites, those caravan parks and so on, and said, we expect you to close. If you don't close, we'll have to review your license on the grounds of public safety and public health. And by the way, if you lose your license, you won't be allowed to reapply for it for 5 years. I guarantee those businesses would have been cooperative. We didn't see any of that. All we saw was politicians, again, hot air, saying, oh, well, it's all terrible. It's nothing to do with us. It's those guys down there. In this case, Cardiff. Politicians in Cardiff do exactly the same. The government, they blame Westminster. They blame these terrible Tories. Like you said, we've run in Wales, the Welsh NHS, for 21 years. Not enough doctors. No PPE at the front. I shouldn't say no PPE. Let me get it right. A severe shortage of PPE at the front line. And yet they want to blame nasty Boris Johnson, nasty Conservatives, instead of taking responsibility for themselves. We have powers in Wales we don't even use, and it's really frustrating.
We've got Senate elections coming up sometime soon. Do you envisage then gathering a lot more support for the Welsh Nationalist Party from, just say, from the rank and file of local councils, town councils, county councils, and then to the party at Senate level?
Yeah, I think I see us being very successful in the Senate elections probably next year. Mm. Where we're at the moment is we're gaining members rapidly. We're getting people, for example, to nominate. We're asking people to nominate people in their communities who they think would be good representatives. And that is interesting. People are coming in. I've been involved in politics all my life, 35 years since I was 15. And this is really exciting because we're tapping into the 50% of people in Wales completely disengaged from politics. And what we're saying is this COVID crisis shows that politics is too important to leave to politicians. And we want people from communities to get involved. We've got another councillor who joined us yesterday. We'll be announcing him tomorrow. We got another couple have joined us in the northwest as well. Community councillors up there, sorry, northeast, around the Wrexham area. So people are coming in all the time. But maybe rather than the political class, what we want to do is get people from our communities, get people active. What I've done in politics, the entire time I've been involved, is get people to turn out. In my own ward, Fairwater, we got turnout from 36% to 45%. Cardiff West, we got turnout from 36 to 48%, or 35 to 48%. Wherever I've worked, I've always increased turnout. And that's what the Welsh National Party wants to do.
Is that because you are a controversial character and you say it as it is? I mean, you're singing the same tune to a certain extent in politics as Plaid Cymru with the Welsh Nationalist Party. I know they've taken you on about the naming of that party as well.
God, yeah, so, yeah.
Do you think that you are going to get people from defecting from Plaid Cymru in the main, or are these people going to come from just any walk of life, any political persuasion?
At the moment, what we have, to a large extent, people who've never been involved in politics before. We've got a meeting later tonight, and a lot of those people will be their first ever political meeting on Zoom. So that is exciting. You know, Plaid, to be honest, that they're irrelevant to most of what we're doing because they're only the party in some parts of Wales. And for example, in Cardiff now, they're non-existent. They have no councillors, few activists. The people that have built up the party previously plied are all Welsh National Party members, we're the ones that have done the work, we're the ones, and I say collectively, it's not just me, we are the ones that have carried the communities with us. We initially to plied, now the Welsh National Party, the reaction to the party has been great. Plaid are so worried they take the electoral commission to court over the name. It's just like, oh my God, you know. But I think that'll even out. Yeah, we'll get a resolution of that. But we want to change, and I think we're reflecting what is happening right across Wales, because people are fed up with these politicians just making excuses, blaming other people. Take responsibility, make decisions, and get it done. What was the other point you raised there, Alan? I think I might have missed something there.
Just where they're coming from. But do you think then nationalism is the way forward? I mean, it's particularly introvert, isn't it, to a certain extent? It's an inward-looking thing. Or what are your, looking forward to health, education, employment, and so on. The money factor, how are you going to fund this? Where are you going to get the money from? What your manifesto, where's that coming from? Is it unique to you? Are you going to construct it yourself? Or are you going to take bits at work, bits at, from other places? How do you go about it?
First of all, I'm not a nationalist. I'm a normalist. It's normal to want to stand on your own 2 feet. It's normal to want to have power over your own life, to have authority over in your own community. Communities deciding what happens in their locality, and I apply that nationally in Wales. I find lots of nationalism deeply unattractive. There were pictures on Twitter of people burning German flags on Friday, which I found just unbelievable. My sister-in-law is German, and that disgusted me. And that kind of nationalism, I absolutely reject. As I said, I'm a normalist. And the thing with the assemblies, we've had so many powers for the last 10 years. They've not even been used. I mean, I'm struggling to think of what the Welsh government has done in the assembly or the Welsh Parliament now in the last 4 years since I've been sat there. They stopped people buying their own council houses, which was outrageous, because a big part of what we want to do is to empower individuals. So if you are paying a lot of rent for a council property or a lot of rent for a housing association property, you should have the right to buy that property. And it's outrageous for assembly members, members of the Welsh Parliament now, with some of them three or four houses. You know, Adam Price voted to stop people owning one property. And Adam and his husband have got how many properties? Four? Certainly three. I think it's four, actually. Shreen's got a few properties. The Labour Assembly members, multiple property owners, landlords, and yet they're telling people in the communities they can't own one, and that's wrong. So that's the one policy we want to take forward. The housing is a massive, massive issue, though, and communities across Wales, people struggle to get housing, and yet there are houses standing empty for most of the year, which is wrong. There are local development plans in place which allow the conversion of family homes to second homes, holiday homes. That has to stop. That's a very simple measure the councils can put through. We need to build council housing again. So if you sell a council house, then what should happen is that money should be put back into the system, and you could acquire several properties through a deposit. There are ways and means. There are 48 organisations in Wales receiving huge amounts of public funding to deal with housing, to deal with homelessness. It's not in their interest to solve the housing problem and the homeless crisis, because we have a poverty industry. So if you're a chief executive earning £90,000 a year for a homeless charity, do you really want to solve the problem of homelessness? You don't. I'm sorry. They don't want to solve it, because each homeless person in my city, in Cardiff, for example, has a huge bag of money around his or her neck. Now, they're worth thousands. So what we should be doing is having a housing first policy, housing those people, supporting those people, building houses on, not on greenfield sites, but on brownfield sites. There are 27,000 empty properties in Wales. We could renovate those within months, really, and house many, many families. Many families that are in overcrowded situations, which is wrong. And I think housing is a fundamental right. And what we need to do as a Welsh National Party is use the powers that the Assembly already has. And once we've done that, once we've shown people that we can actually manage things competently, properly, then we look at the wider picture of Welsh sovereignty, further down the line, because we need more powers. If we're going to generate a really a wealth, we could be a wealthy country, but there's powers that we need that Westminster has at the moment.
Looking at the record on education, it's not that good. Do you think that within the Parliament now, as it stands, that you will be able to get your points across, get your manifesto across, get your ideas across without overstepping the mark? Because we know traditionally you have quite often been sort of suffered the wrath of the chair there.
Oh, God. Well, I think what you have in...
Can you be able to speak your mind and robustly challenge and question? Well, Gwynorod Jones, for instance, the former MP for Carmarthen, he says the Welsh Assembly or the Parliament now is lacklustre, lacks passion, lacks the politician with any hoil and spirit that actually has this robust debate between each other and really goes for it, you know?
Yeah. Gwynorod was right, because I said the First Minister had answered a question arrogantly, and that they turned my microphone off. So what you have, I mean, for saying the word arrogantly, I'm of mixed race, and I've had a politician call me racist, which is deeply offensive to me. The former First Minister mocked my background, the fact that I'm a my family is a family of immigration from England, from the Yemen, from Ireland, and they were mocking my background. Nothing was done. People are routinely called liars. Nothing is done. People are called misogynists. Nothing is done. And what we have is a presiding officer who doesn't even pretend to be even-handed. There's a complete lack of professionalism, and they're embarrassing the institution, and they're denigrating devolution. And I fear for the Welsh Parliament when it's being run by people who are so overtly prejudiced. And I'm the wrath of, I take a lot of stick off them. I've had my microphone cut off several times. It's outrageous in democracy. People don't realize 2 weeks ago, I through the correct procedure, I put forward a motion to the Assembly so that we could get back to working normally. Why are we only doing one day a week? Why are we only discussing COVID? They're going to be dumping nuclear munitions possibly in the not too distant future. We should be discussing that. It's hugely important. Possible radioactive mud being washed up on Welsh shores. Why are we not discussing this? Anyway, I put the motion forward to the business committee. And this is the nub of the problem, really. You had the Conservatives. You had the Liberal Democrats. You had the Plaid Cymru group. You had the Brexit group. You had all the established parties, if you like, agreeing not to put that on the agenda. So when the agenda appeared last week, there was no mention of the Assembly going back to work. My local social club used to be more democratic when it was open.
Neil honestly, Hamilton, I mean, another controversial character, Neil Hamilton, said the Welsh Assembly, the Parliament now, might as well be in China as far as people in North Wales or Mid Wales are concerned, because it's as far removed as China that it's non-touchable. Nobody knows what's going on there. Your view then, maybe should the Parliament be mobile, moving around? Should it come out of that building there, maybe even up to Machynlleth in the old Owain Glyndŵr Parliament of old?
I think we need to elect a different set of politicians, because it doesn't really matter where the institution is. It's very distant to me. And I would agree that the Welsh Parliament at the minute is not working for the west of Wales. It's not working for the north of Wales. It's not working for Bhutan. Bhutan's 200 metres away. You know, I'm the only member of the Welsh Parliament that actually crosses the road and goes into Bhutan. I've not seen any other. They don't even know it exists. You know, they stay in a little bubble in the bay. But what we need to do is elect different politicians. I think we need more community activists elected who just happen to become politicians. What we have is a career conveyor belt, really, of people who don't really have much experience of everyday life. They work for a politician. They see the good salary in the Welsh Parliament, and they want to inherit seats. And I think there's a lack of normality, to be honest, because if I'm being really honest with you, the Assembly for me, or the Welsh Parliament for me, it's a vile place to work. But you know, I'm lucky, I'm really well paid. I'm the anomaly there. Very few people have even any polite conversations with me. I get officials who I recorded, actually, because I didn't have a choice with the standards commissioner, referring to me as an animal, essentially. And some hugely, hugely outrageous things said. And to give you an example, in one of the complaints about me, the staff of the commissioner, standards commissioner, talked about, they said that, I don't know whether they did, but this is what they said. They said they'd had a word with one of the chief legal officers of the assembly, and he was open to making sure my appeal on a complaint was going to be dismissed. Okay? I hadn't made the appeal, but they'd already seen to it that it was going to be dismissed. Now that's the way things work. I heard a lot of other things as well on the recordings, like, oh God, there wasn't really too much evidence against me on certain things, but they had to. how do we do him? That was the gist of it. And those staff who called me the most outrageous things.
A lot of people said, listening to this might be quite shocked, Neil, that this kind of thing goes on. Some might not be that shocked because they sort of monitor and look at local government, town councils, county councils. It's cutthroat. It's cut. You know, it's cloak and dagger sometimes. What's the answer then? How do people like yourself and I guess you're classed, or maybe you class yourself in the minority in the parliament now, along with Neil Hamilton and one or two others. How do you break this Labour grip then within the Welsh Parliament?
We're already breaking it. And if you look at what we've done in the communities outside of the Welsh Parliament, the people who are joining the Welsh National Party now, they're joining a movement. And to be frank, I'm in a minority of one at the moment. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong. I'm the only member of our parliament to vote against nuclear power. I don't think it's in the Welsh national interest to have nuclear power stations in Wales. The only AM, as I was then. But that doesn't really bother me, because I'm very confident that after we have an election, then there'll be several more of me. And I think people like me will be more the norm in the institution, demanding things. I'll give you an example. I got elected and I thought, well, all right, got to keep this government on their toes. You know, maybe one afternoon I had too much time. Right, honestly, their diaries. Okay. I write to get the diaries. They refused to give me the diaries, okay? So I phoned up the official. I'll be honest now, given my experience, what I'd have to do now is actually phone on the landline and record on my telephone, okay? Because that's where we're at. What we have in Wales is a huge, he's been awkward. We don't want to answer those questions. What can we do? We'll call him a bully. We'll say he's raised his voice, because that gives them a complete out clause. You know, that happened in January with the child who was alleging abuse in care. Oh, well, they objected to my tone on the telephone. A kid is alleging abuse. So there's no investigation of the abuse, no proper investigation, as has been established, by the way. And yet I'm drawn over the coals. But I've lost my track there, Alan. What was I talking about?
You're just saying about the inner workings of the parliament, really, and how kind of one-sided it is, and how it has cut you off. Do you think that? I mean, it's standard, really, when you look at the local councils and county councils. Mm. You have a lot of people who join for great reasons, for honourable reasons, really, to make a difference, to make a change, and to see things progress. But from what you're explaining here, you're on a hiding to nothing, aren't you?
No, what we have in Wales is a political cartel. You have the Labour Party, it's a one-party state. You have the Conservatives, who are very, they're never going to win a majority in Wales, to be frank, and they're a very poor opposition. The Liberal Democrats and the Plaid Cymru group will just do as Labour tells them. I mean, that's just the way, it's a cartel. So nothing ever changes. And Plaid reminds me almost of a, and this wasn't my word actually, this was a person who stood for Plaid Cymru, and she said that it reminded her of a Ponzi scheme, where they con people into thinking that, you know, con people into giving money, giving time, and we're going to shake things up, we're going to change things. And actually, when they get elected, they just do as they're told. And that is a reality. What happened with me when I got elected, I said on the platform of not politics as usual, I wouldn't just, I wanted to ask those questions. I wanted to know about the diaries, because that's what I was talking about. When I asked for the diaries of the ministers, and I got on the phone and spoke to the official, they said to me, oh, no one's ever asked for the diaries before. That was in 2016. 17 years. These ministers have been doing what they wanted. Nobody checking up on them. So they refused to give me the diaries. The context was, I thought I knew, that ministers had been meeting lobbyists when the first minister said that they didn't have access to ministers. And I wanted to look at their diaries, see who they'd met, and connect the dots. They refused to publish diaries. I couldn't get them. Eventually, they decided to publish the diaries ongoing. So now they're published. But for the previous 17 years, they were not published and will not be made available. There's a huge lack of transparency. But people are cottoning onto this. You know, I mean, the Welsh National Party is gaining traction. We're gaining members. We're gaining councillors. I was the first assembly member to publish videos of the plenary. So when the First Minister is hugely disrespectful to the people of Wales by not giving answers, and he does behave in a very arrogant way, people now see it. That didn't used to happen before. So I think that there's a whole power here of social media and people sharing tweets, sharing videos on Facebook, talking to each other. And I think there's a whole different dynamic in politics now.
Well, that leads.
I'm very optimistic that we can change things.
Yeah, well, that leads me to the final question, which is that we have seen, as a result of this crisis, a lot of the local governance, national governance, UK governance, basically fading away to a certain extent. You know, we don't see them. We don't know what they're doing. We're told then all of a sudden, well, these meetings are taking place online. It begs the question, really, why this can't be done for the majority of the time, and why we're spending so much money on buildings, on facilities, on food, on transport, and so on for our governance.
Yeah, I think there's been benefits to this crisis, because I think all of us have thought about what we're doing and how we spend our time. The Welsh National Party Councillor Group has decided from now on, when this is over, we're not going to converge on a venue and meet once a week. We're actually going to do it remotely, because we all get on really well. We can just, it's quicker. So then we're going to save.
Is it 49 the limit on Zoom? Isn't it 49, something like that?
I think if you pay for the professional, it's 500. If you pay for the top grade. So we're going to do that. But I think there's lots of things which can be done differently. I think politicians should be able to attend remotely. So if you are unwell, or maybe your child is unwell and you cannot go into the plenary, then you should be allowed to vote remotely. I think that could be of great benefit. But I think at the moment, though, we're just not being governed. So I think people may think that we're carry on, you know, we're not really missing being governed, but we are actually, because as I said to you, there are a lot of things happening now under the radar. There's no scrutiny. You've got a presiding officer in the assembly who's it must have been in a job description she has to help the government, because I know the Labour Party put her in office to be the presiding officer, and there's a huge lack of scrutiny. To go back to the nuclear mud, EDF, the energy company, and in charge of the Hinkley Point development, with the Chinese government, I would add. There's Chinese government influence there, and money. I think a percentage of the development is the Chinese government involved in a nuclear power station. You know, they're discussing things with Natural Resources Wales. Do we know what's going on? I'm not able to question the Environment Minister about it. So there's a whole load of things going on we know nothing about.
Last question.
But I think that was the last. So we've got to get back to normal.
Last one, just the media in Wales. I mean, what's your view on that? Is it fair? Are they doing what they're doing? Are they holding people to account? Or again, are we seeing a one-sided race here with the media?
Well, I've been told that Wales News Online is not bad. It's based in Llanelli. Do you know who runs that?
No.
I know
a lot of people I've spoken to. I mean, the ICNN were representing the independent media. We've not had any money from the NHS advertising. We've had nothing. Most of us are sort of sinking. Yeah. And that seems to be allowed to be happening, really. I'm of the mind, really, and a lot of people are highly critical of the way that the media is picking the low-hanging fruit in Wales and not addressing the issues and not holding government and other organisations to account.
Yeah, that you've hit the nail on the head there, because as somebody involved in politics, I know that you guys play an absolutely pivotal role in holding us to account. If we do silly things, if we carry out the wrong policies, make the wrong decisions, we should be held to account. But the media in Wales that we have is far too cozy. The BBC, there's a revolving door of people working for the BBC, working for lobbying firms, working for the Assembly, working for the government. So there are stories which should have really got a lot of traction, don't. I'll be honest now, personally, we've added you to this site, to our mailing list. And what I want to do is take a lot more news out there through outlets like this, because the BBC, they've got an agenda, you can't trust them. It's very difficult sometimes to get things in Wales Online. I'm not blaming the journalists at all, who do a very honest job at the front, at the coalface, if you like. But you've got editors, you've got news editors who block stories, and there's always an agenda. Give you an example, the issue of me with the, I got found guilty again, banned for 4 months from the council for a disputed tone of voice, because I did actually, some of it was actually recorded and my tone of voice was normal, but it wasn't all recorded. So they found me guilty on what wasn't recorded, and they had to dismiss the other allegations which were recorded. But hardly a single news outlet printed the fact that a child in care had consistently alleged abuse over an 8-month period. And not a single one of them said that the police did not take the child to a place of safety. The child has learning difficulties. It was not given an advocate. It had been to hospital. And all we still know is that there was blood involved. We don't know what the injuries were. And none of that was highlighted, because there was an agenda to, because I don't go along with the crowd in the Assembly or the Parliament, because the Welsh National Party has been formed and we are a threat. The job of the media is to denigrate what we do and not look at the issues. And I'm looking for that particular case with the child in care. The child's getting older now, and I look forward to the day when that child is able to sue the authorities, because I'll be helping him. And to go back to the wider point, it's hugely worrying, hugely, hugely worrying, that we're losing our freedoms bit by bit by bit. And there's a political cartel of the established parties in Cardiff Bay. There's also a media cartel, mainly the BBC, to be honest. I think ITV deal with things a lot more open-handedly, and their reporting is slightly more objective. It's more objective, I'll be honest, than the BBC. BBC, in some cases, is an absolute disgrace. And I give them some really important stuff. I used to. I'll give it to you guys now, to be honest. And they just don't print it. It doesn't see the light of day. And because if you go back to 2017, all the complaints that were made about me, nearly every one of those was organised by the lobbying company, about whom I'd made a complaint in terms of their contracts, the way they got a contract. And I was proven to be correct. The contract was dodgy. I'm not in any danger in saying that on a broadcast, because they lost the contract. It was found to have been done wrongly. And if that was Westminster, it would have been front page news that you've got a lobbying agency challenged by a politician who's trying to get things done transparently, and yet a load of complaints are made about him, and the BBC refused to join the dots, deliberately so. Because can I just say, a member of that lobbying firm now works for the BBC.
Well, you know, not politics as usual. It's not been an interview as usual. And you need to change your hashtag there to Neil McAvoy does exactly, Welsh Nationalist Party does exactly what it says on the tin.
Absolutely, yeah.
Thanks for speaking to us, Neil, and I'll broadcast this later on. I'll send you the link to it as well then.
Okay.
Thanks a lot for speaking to us.
Diolch yn fawr.
Diolch, ta-ra.
Hwyl.